Welcome to College Football Roundtable, your source for college football coverage, including major storylines,
playoffs,
can't miss game previews, and picks each week. Join your hosts, Dan, Rob, and Jordan at the roundtable for a show unlike anything else. As for Football presents the College Football Roundtable.
Welcome back. It's Tuesday. Time for the drive at five. For those of you guys that remember the greatest hits of the 70s, 80s, and 90s, you've got the Astro Football crew here. It's championship weekend. Conference championships are going to matter for some, not so much for others. According to the updated committee rules, you know, the top five conference champions are going to make it in. We're here to preview those championship games in Autopsy Rivalry Weekend. And then the real question is, does Duke make it into the playoff if they win the ACC championship? What's up, Trash Talkers? Welcome back to the College Football Roundtable. Or if you prefer, you can call it Ring Knocker Radio. I'm your host, Rob, in Fayetteville, North Carolina. We got Dan Oikebeso calling to you out of Coastal Connecticut, and Trigger Joe from the home of the Big House. How are we doing, guys? We'll start with Joe, round it out with Dan, and then I will.
Oh, licking my wounds over here. It was a painful start to my Saturday as I got to watch the Wolverines lost. I look lost on offense while playing a pretty solid game on defense, but nevertheless losing to Ohio State. I was prepared for it. I did watch some of the BYU and UCF game, which was interesting to see BYU go down 14 and then fight back to cover with a late field goal on cover 17 and a half with a late field goal, which mattered to me. I watched Diego Pavia put on another great performance as Vanderbilt probably had their highest quality win of the season against Tennessee. And then I saw Miami make their case on going on the road, smashing Pittsburgh 38-7. Well, Malachi Toney put on a performance that saw him catching and throwing touchdown passes this game. Other than that, and the fact that it was a very painful Saturday for a Wolverines fan, it was pretty great college football Saturday.
Yeah, for sure. I will tell you, Malachi Toney, his stock went up, I think, just a little bit after watching that game. But yeah, it's going to be interesting. Dano, how about you? What did you end up watching?
I watched a lot of different games, and I got to be honest with you, I was pretty disappointed with the overall quality of just the competition in Rivalry Weekend. Like, Joe, I don't want to pile on, but, dude, the game was, like, not much of a game once we got past halftime. I thought Georgia Tech would be much more competitive with Georgia. Shit, I thought Colorado State would be competitive with Air Force. I thought Temple would keep it close against North Texas. Tennessee, I mean, don't even get me started. Good Lord, getting blown out by Vandy at home? Oh, Lordy. When was the last time that happened? It had to be like in the 1800s. Even the Iron Bowl didn't really do a lot for me. So I don't know what to tell you, except that the Black Knights put on a barn burner in San Antonio, and that is all I really needed. So go Army, I guess.
Yeah, for me, you know, Friday night, I watched Arch Manning play the way that he was supposed to all season. Like, he lived up to the hype, particularly against Texas A&M. That was the appetizer for the upcoming chaos in college football. I think we're going to see a lot more chaos this weekend, and then we're not going to know for sure until Sunday night who's going to be in the 12-team bracket. But it'll be very, very interesting. Of course, I watched the Army at UTSA game. What a great contest. I think that was probably some of the best football of rivalry weekend. And, hey, like, put a stamp on it. Mark this one on your calendar. Every time Army plays UTSA, it's going to be a good game. You know, Army and UTSA had an informal rivalry going, but, like, based off of what happened this past weekend, you know, Jeff Munkin being one of three coaches that have beaten Traylor at home as a head coach at UTSA, I think they're circling it around their calendar, so you should too, because I think it'll be some good games. And then I was pretty much annoyed Saturday with the lane watch. Like, in the immortal words of Nate Diaz, like, I'm not surprised. Like, if you're a Tennessee fan, you've already gone through, you know, that emotional roller coaster. But I mean, I hate to say it, but it's major college football. And, you know, people are going where the money is, and that's players and coaches, unfortunately. And it just sucks the timing, right? Like, had he gone in the offseason, I don't think anybody would have had a problem with it. But, like, you go before the playoffs are announced and you pop smoke on your team, not a good thing. However, speaking of somebody that will not pop smoke on you, we will talk to you about our realtor that we have is at Jocelyn Bradley. So if you've listened to the show at all, or you're PCSing to the Fort Bragg area, we have the realtor for you, Jocelyn Bradley. Jocelyn is a member of the Long Gray Line class of 2010. She served as an Army logistics officer after she graduated from the academy, where she honed her passion for impacting people's lives. Now as a dedicated realtor, she brings you the exact same commitment when finding your dream home. Jocelyn provides exceptional personalized service to ensure a seamless home buying experience that's tailored to your needs. Beyond Fort Bragg, Jocelyn has an extensive network of trusted veteran realtors that spans across the country that can support you wherever your PCS takes you. So if you're relocating locally here in the Fort Bragg area or across the nation, Jocelyn makes recommendations at no cost, and she'll connect you with a professional of integrity in your next market. As a proud supporter of Astro Football this season, Jocelyn is the realtor you can trust to guide you to a home. Reach out today and let her make your next move effortless. Over to Joe to talk about the top or the college football rankings.
Yeah. I got the top 12 here, and obviously we're going to have an updated version real soon. And know what it really looks like after this weekend. But in the driver's seat, as of all year, at number one, we got Ohio State, and they beat Michigan 27-9 and face Indiana in a Big Ten championship where I think both teams are going no matter what happens. But they're a 5.5-point favorite. Indy smashed Purdue 56-3. They're at number two, Indiana. Same story for them, except they're plus 5.5. At number three, we got Texas A&M, but that's going to change after they lost to Texas 27-17. So they just are waiting on seeding. Their games are done. At number four, we got UGA with a great win against Georgia Tech. I mean, winning that game, period. You knew it was going to be close, 16-9. It was pretty ugly, but they faced Bama for the SEC championship, where they are 2.5-point favorites at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta. At number five, we got Texas Tech, who smashed West Virginia 49-0. They faced BYU, where they are currently 12.5-point favorites for the Big 12 championship at Jerry World at AT&T Stadium. Number six, we got Oregon, went on the road and beat Washington 26-14, and they wait at 11-1 also for the seeding and to see where they go. At number seven, we got Ole Miss. They went and beat Mississippi State in the Egg Bowl 38-19, lost their head coach, and now also at 11-1, wait to find out where they're seated at. At number eight, we got Oklahoma. They beat LSU to close out a 10-2 season. They beat LSU 17-13, and I guess we wait to find out where they land. At number nine, we got Notre Dame. They crushed Stanford but did not cover the 32. And at 10-2, I think we know the Irish are in. At number 10, we got Alabama. They won the Iron Bowl 27-20 at Jordan-Hare. They're going to play Georgia and Atlanta for the SEC championship, where they are 2.5-point dogs. At number 11, we got BYU. They won and covered after a pretty scary first half, going down 14-0 against UCF. And hey, BYU, you want in? You got to win one football game. And at number 12, we got Miami, who did their thing to make their case. I mean, can't do any better than going on the road to Pitt and winning 38-7. So, but you know, losses early in the season hurt Miami's chances to go to the ACC championship, and now they don't know if they're going to be where they're going to be after this weekend. They might be the first team out.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's crazy that we're talking about it, because we make all these adjustments.
And back-to-back years about the same school, which is shocking.
Yeah. You know, we make all these adjustments with the college football playoff, you know, to count wins and losses, strength of schedule, and then, you know, how things are falling out. But, and Joe and I talked about this offline, but I think, you know, one of the things that we're going to have to see in major college football is a move away from divisions in these conferences, because the division lineup has you know Virginia, who's 11-2 or 11-1, playing an 8-5 or 8-4 Duke team, and it's just like, why? Because they're on the opposite side of the bracket. That's basically it.
Okay, so counterpoint: all these conferences are too damn big.
True. And I think that's part of it, too. It's like the broadcast television conglomeration is going to have to change, because, again, I understand, you know, like having divisions works pretty well in the NFL, because there's only, you know, two big divisions. Right. And then you have your subdivisions, divisional playoffs or whatnot. But when you start to talk about college football, you know, until there's parity and you know, they're going to have to re-squeeze this. So now we're going from the Power Five and the Group of Five to the Power Four and the Group of Six. which is crazy. And one of those group of six conferences has no championship, and that is the Pac-2 until that changes. Hopefully they will restructure something soon. All right, back to the AP.
Yeah, I got on board when the Big Ten took half of the West Coast and became closer to the Big 20 than they were the Big Ten. I got off board with how big the conference was. It was like, these are getting out of control.
I mean, this year, I think Ohio State and Indiana are clearly the best two teams, and there's really, it's hard to make an argument against that. But in the SEC, you had several teams that it would have been better off to have some of those teams be in a different conference, play for a different championship, and still make the playoff.
Yeah, and that's true. I think it's just a matter of like, what's the eye test look like? And again, like you never know what the sports writers are looking at. Because if you're talking to Paul Feinbaum, it's Bama all the way.
You wouldn't want to play Vanderbilt right now.
No,
and they might not make it.
Yeah, for sure. And that's crazy.
And they would do damage in the playoff.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that's really ultimately what it boils down to is like, if the committee takes the top five and then there's seven at large bids, then you need to pick the teams. And I don't think that it's going to happen, but you would hope that they would pick the teams that are going to put on the best football games and not based off of some, you know, preseason bias or AP listing or whatever. But we know how that goes. Yeah. Back to the AP. So we're at 75 losses in the top 25, and this is usually when we stop counting. So we beat last year, which was 72. Notable losses this week, you had Arizona whooping up on Arizona State. That's not a surprise, even though Arizona State was ranked above them. You know, we talked about Georgia and Georgia Tech. We talked about Texas wrecking freaking Texas A&M's dreams. Miami making its case. Vandy at Tennessee and Ohio State and Michigan. I mean,
I already said that.
Sorry, Joe. Speaking of people that can't get it done, it is now time for Joe's Weekly Awards, and we are going to talk about.
Look, it's the Blue Falcon.
You know, I'm not even going to say this guy can't get it done. I'm not going to say that he's not great, but I mean, the Blue Falcon is an obvious one. It's Lane Kiffin. Your team just capped off in an 11-1 season that is going to see them go to the playoffs for the first time in school history, and your answer is to sign a new contract and get out of Dodge before they have another game. I'm sorry. That's a scumbag move, in my opinion, and Lane Kiffin bounces around from school to school because he really doesn't care how he leaves the program as long as he's leaving it for a better situation. And I don't even know how big of an upgrade this is considered. But Lane Kiffin, you are definitely the Blue Falcon of the week for leaving your team hanging right before they go to the playoffs. And I get it. He's doing it to get a jump on LSU's next season. But, man, can you imagine being one of those kids on his team that, like, really thought Coach had your back? Like, ow.
Yeah, I think there's gonna be some pretty significant fallout probably for the next 6 weeks because of this. And I think really the reality of it is I don't think he will be able to poach players, leaving them in a lurch like this. You know what I mean? Because
it's like when Greg Madison left Michigan for Ohio State. Yeah. It was like, dude, how can those players trust him?
He left Tennessee a month after having printed shirts that said something like "believe in and trust the process" or some crazy shit like that. Yeah. You know,
some guys are quicker than others, I guess.
Come on, man.
Trust the process. The process that you got to trust with Lane Kiffin is I'm going to go where the money is. And again, you don't like look. If it wasn't so poorly timed, I don't think anybody would care. You know, like a guy moving up or what he considers a move up as a coach is okay.
He's going to an in-conference rival. I mean, okay, it's an in-conference rival with a bigger stadium and a larger checkbook, but I can see why people are pissed.
Yeah, I legitimately think it's NIL capital, right? I think it's the difference between what LSU can bring to the table versus Ole Miss as far as NIL cash. But even still, like, dude, you're 11-1. You had a number one draft, one of the best quarterbacks to come out of, you know, last year's draft. He's playing like gangbusters until he got hurt, and now he's back, and everybody's expecting big things out of Jackson Dart. All you have to do is stay the course. Like, literally, just stay the course.
Yeah. Jackson Dart is good. I mean, he's not the problem on the Giants, that much I promise you.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, well, all right, guys. So we're going to roll into our conference championship preview. We're going to talk about them real quick and then give our leans, and we'll go from there. So, Dana, over to you.
Yeah, man, I am happy to talk about it. So we're going to start with the American Conference, which is, of course, a conference that we sometimes focus on here at As for Football. University of Texas is 11-1, 7-1 in conference, taking on the Tulane Green Wave, who are 12-2, 7-1, also in the conference. North Texas key wins, Washington State, UTSA, and Navy. Tulane's key wins, Northwestern and Duke. Those are essentially the key wins for the purposes of this discussion, as well as ECU, Memphis, and we wrote ECU twice. So yeah. ECU is probably the best team that nobody outside the American is following. Key losses, UNT lost to USF when they were hot. And if you don't mind me saying, that was just on Drew Mestemaker having a little freak out in game. What are you going to do? And Tulane lost to Ole Miss. A lot of teams lost to Ole Miss this year, along with UTSA and the Dome, which is a little bit less understandable. Anyway, I don't think it's a mystery why, if you're the college football playoff committee, you'd probably like to see Tulane win this game, because with the wins over Northwestern and Duke, they become the obvious group of five champion, and then they're in, and everybody's happy and nobody argues about that. But unfortunately for them, I think North Texas has a much, much, much more consistent team. And as we said last night, Tulane is distracted on a Tuesday because they had chicken nuggets in the mess hall. I mean, these guys just don't show up every single week. The line is North Texas minus three, probably ought to be about minus seven. Game starts at 8 p.m. Friday evening. I very much hope I get home in time to see it, because we are supposed to go to the snowball for my ski club. But spoiler alert, give me North Texas.
Nice. Dan, or Joe, how about you?
Yeah, I like North Texas in the game for the same reason Daniel pointed out about Tulane. They're just not consistent. You know, I that game against UTSA, if they come out and lay an egg like that against North Texas, they're going to get ran on. So yeah, for sure. I think North Texas wins this game going away.
Yeah. For me, I'm leaning in on North Texas. I just think it's offense, right? And I think they have enough offense that if the committee were to pick them and put them into the playoff, that they have enough offense to make a first round game interesting. I think they're the better of the two teams. I think, you know, given Tulane's history, they're just going to be excited to be there. And that
coach, man, what he's done with Drew Mestemaker is what an advertisement for your abilities as a quarterback's coach. No one had heard of Drew Mestemaker before this season. ESPN had projected him as like the 120th best coach in the FBS.
Yeah. I mean, go figure. And they have one of the most potent offense. They're still number one.
No, they are number one. They are number one.
Yeah, for sure. All right, moving on to the ACC. So we've got Duke at 7-5. They're 6-2 in the conference versus Virginia, who's 10-2 at 7-1. Duke's key wins were Syracuse and Clemson, if that counts this year, because Clemson is not very well, didn't do so hot. Virginia lost to Florida State early, and then Louisville. Key wins are Florida State and Louisville. Key losses for Duke, Illinois, Tulane, Georgia Tech, and UConn. And then Virginia lost to NC State at home. Like, Carter Finley was a dangerous place to play this season. Like, for some reason, that home crowd got behind CJ Bailey, and he played better when he was at home. The loss to Wake Forest. The line right now is 2.5. Virginia minus 2.5. Game time is Saturday at 6. Saturday at 8 on ABC. What are you guys thinking on this one?
I mean, I picked this one down below too, but give me Virginia. Duke is worse than Tulane, and they lost to Tulane, but that's they've got so many losses. It's embarrassing that they're in this game, honestly. I get that they did well enough in the conference, but how do you, forget it. It's unbelievable.
Joe, how about you?
Yeah, Just with the losses that Duke's had, I can't go any other way than I've got to go Virginia. I just don't see it with the way they got beat in their own stadium by Virginia, 3 weeks ago?
Yeah.
And the way they've had several home losses this year, and they weren't close games. Like Illinois went in there and punked them pretty good.
Yeah. And that beating that they took from Tulane is probably one of the worst this season.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I just think Virginia, to make their case as a two-loss conference champion to go dancing, I think they show up for this game and take it very seriously and win 27-17 is going to be my final.
I mean, Duke lost to UConn, who lost to Rice.
Yeah.
They're very inconsistent. That tells me they're not disciplined, and I tell you, that's another thing about Michigan. Not to dog pile on, but their best defensive player could have been. Yeah, I don't. They could have got us a lifetime ban for what he did. And I've never seen that kind of discipline out of Michigan. But if Sharon Moore wants to keep his job, you can't have players acting like that and getting beaten by three scores. You can't have it. No, so I don't. Sure. When I see a team that's undisciplined versus a team that just continues to keep on, you know, championship games, that's where you see teams like that really shoot themselves in the foot with flags because they get frustrated because they're playing against a good team.
Yeah, make for mistakes. Sure. Well, look, I'm going to take the opposite stance. I want to see how the committee responds to a Duke win. Honestly, just for the sake of college football, I want to see Duke upset Virginia, not because I want to see Virginia lose. I just want to see what the committee does, right? Because I think this will be like that's the biggest monkey wrench that you could have happen. You know, have the 7-5 team beat the 10-2 team. Now, yeah. How do we fix that? Because the prevailing knowledge is, oh, it's going to be, you know, the Power Four conference champions are going to make it in, and then one of the group of five. But nice. And I agree with Brian right there. But I think that's really, you know, that's the only reason why I'm leaning that way. Honestly, I think Virginia is going to win it, but I want to see how the committee responds to, you know, the flashbang being tossed in the middle of the room.
That Joe, would how be about amazing.
You? Over to you.
Yeah, we got the state of Indiana is going crazy in Indianapolis. We have Indiana at 12-0 playing Ohio State at 12-0. Indiana key wins for the Big Ten title in Indianapolis. Indiana's key wins Oregon and Illinois, Ohio State's Texas and Penn State and Michigan. Key losses none because hasn't happened yet. The line is Ohio State at -5.5. Game time Saturday at 6 on Fox. I am leaning with that line. I'm leaning Ohio, Indiana to cover.
Yeah.
Not win, cover.
Tano, how about you?
I don't know, man. Ohio State just looks like they're on a mission this year. Nobody has touched them, and I do understand that Indiana has played very well, and maybe I'm just buying into it too much. But, no, I don't know about the line, but I'll take Ohio State to wreck everyone until they come into, you know, until they play Georgia again, and then we'll see.
It's kind of so you watch the first quarter of the Michigan game, right?
Yeah.
The Michigan has an offense. If Michigan had an offense half as good as Indiana's, they'd have went into the half with probably a 2-score lead.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, Indiana's got a real defense, and they've got an even better offense.
All right.
I think they're going to make it close.
Yeah, I think the only mark on Indiana was how close Penn State played them, you know, and I think that was an inspired Penn
State's best game.
Yeah, that was an inspired performance legitimately for Penn State. And I think that's the only question mark really in Indiana's resume is like how close that Penn State game was. Yeah, they still pulled it off at the end. But like if you let a team like Ohio State get up on you by 14 points, you ain't coming back, you know, and I think that's the difficult part for them.
I guess I sort of think that nobody has really pushed them yet. Those receivers can get to another level. I guess that's just what I think, and we'll see if that happens.
This is the first game where I do not give the quarterback advantage to Ohio State.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair. And I think
game of their season, I think the other team has the best quarterback on the field. And that's a big statement given the season Julian Sands playing. But for Fernando Mendoza – says all the right things, does all the right things, and the guy's very, very smart in game. He almost never makes the wrong decision. So it's gonna be really interesting to see him against that defense.
Yeah,
I don't think anyone gets held to under 24 in this game.
I certainly say take the over on this one. I think this may be the one time that somebody scores on Ohio State because. Yeah. You know, both of those kids are going to, you know, between Mendoza and Sand, those are both of those guys are going to be in New York.
I saw 48.5 as the line, I said, okay, no, they're playing indoors, boys. Okay. There's four NFL receivers and maybe three NFL running backs, definitely two NFL quarterbacks and a litany of linebackers, secondary and line interior linemen that are going to the league. I think both of these teams find a way to go over 24 points.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Joe, what about the Big 12?
Oh, shoot. I guess I got so hyped on the Big Ten, I put the script down for a second. All right, we got BYU in a rematch with Texas Tech. Both teams come in at 11-1. BYU's key wins are against Cincy. That was a good one. And Texas Tech was BYU. key losses were BYU's was to Texas Tech. They just didn't have an answer for that defense that day. And then Texas Tech was to ASU, which was a game I didn't really watch. So yeah. I think Morton was out that game. The line right now is Texas Tech minus 13. Well, when it came out, it was 13.5. It's moved today to 12.5. The game time is 6 o'clock Saturday, noon on ABC. 6 o'clock, 6th of December, noon on Saturday. Okay. You guys tell who the infantryman is. But I'm leaning Texas Tech, man. No, not with the money they put in NIL. I think they went in cover.
Yeah. Dan, how about you?
I don't know, man. I honestly haven't watched a lot of the Big 12, and the teams that I was paying more attention to sort of petered out. I mean, I got so into K-State after we had the guy on here, and then they sucked. And I was such a believer in Iowa State, and they sucked. I guess I'll take Texas Tech because it seems like they're on the news more often. But I mean, what does that prove? Here we are taking ideas from ESPN.
Yeah. Well, here's what I think. I think Texas Tech will win it, but it'll be a lot closer than the first game because it's very, very hard to beat a team twice in the same season. You know, ask the Oregon Ducks about adjustments that are going to be made, right? Especially because I have in-game film of you. It's not me watching you play somebody else. It's you against my personnel. So I know what personnel packages I need to adjust and make those changes to. So I'm going to say Texas Tech. I think, you know, and this is one of my picks later, I think BYU is going to cover, you know, but we shall see. Moving on to Conference USA, you got Kennesaw State at 9-3. They're 7-1 in the conference. Got Jackson State at 8-4. They're 7-1 in the conference. Key wins for Kennesaw State is Louisiana Tech and Missouri State. And then for Jackson State was Liberty and Delaware. And believe it or not, the Blue Hens were pretty good this year. You know, quietly had a decent season. They weren't great, but they put on some good games. Key losses for Kennesaw State. They lost to Jackson State already this season, Wake Forest, Indiana, and Jack this season. And then Jackson State lost to Georgia Southern, Southern Miss, and FIU. That may be the only bad loss for Jackson State. Jackson State is favored right now by 1.5. Game time is Friday at 7 on the CBS Sports Network. What's the lean on this one, gentlemen?
Give me Kennesaw State. I don't like taking a loss to FIU. That's bad. And neither of those so-called good wins, Georgia Southern or Southern Miss, are super impressive in my opinion. Give me Kennesaw State. Although I think their coach might be leaving and maybe that's some chaos, but I still give me Kennesaw State. I don't care for a team that loses to FIU.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I'm going Kennesaw State as well. Nice. I like their offense. I like their quarterback.
I'm going with Jackson State for one reason and one reason only, their running game. So they have at one point their starting running back was number one in the country with total yards from scrimmage. So I think that may be the difference, ball control versus, a little bit more wide open offense. But speaking of somebody that is wide open, we have somebody that is wide open to help you find your next mortgage. Over to you, Dan.
Friends, if you've listened to this show before or watched us on YouTube, you know that this show is sponsored by Craig Oxane, area sales manager for The Money Store. Friends, Craig is a mortgage broker and a member of the West Point class of 1994. He is licensed to lend in all 50 states, but based out of Chicago, he is one of the most successful VA lenders in the country. Craig will offer you super competitive rates, give you the best deal he possibly can. And guys, this mortgage process is super confusing. Interest rates move all over the place. You're trying to do a lot of stuff with your house. You got to sign all this paperwork. Like, deal with somebody that you can talk to on the phone, with somebody who cares about you, not a call center, random big box bank, minus website, you know, whatever, app on your phone. This is how the West Point Network functions. Craig is helping us stay in business here at Ask for Football, and we're helping you get the best deal on a mortgage that we possibly can by introducing you to the very man you need to meet. Plus, Craig does not charge lending fees for veterans. Guys, save yourself $1,300 by going with Craig and not paying for that lending fee. Get that money, friends. So Craig Oxane, area sales manager for The Money Store. His link is on our website. Just go to askforfootball.com. He and Jocelyn both have little business cards. You click on those things. You fill out a little questionnaire. You'll be talking to them in a couple of hours. It's too easy. Get a house. Get a mortgage. We're trying to help.
Thanks, Dan. On to the Mid-America Conference.
Yeah, man, I will take it. You've got Miami of Ohio at 7-5, 6-2 in the conference versus Western Michigan at 8-4, 7-1 in the conference. Miami's key wins include Western Michigan and Buffalo, which I would not have guessed. Western Michigan beat Central Michigan, the Fighting Drinkhalls there, and Ohio, as well as Eastern Michigan. Key losses for Miami include Wisconsin, Rutgers, UNLV, Ohio, and Toledo. Over at Western Michigan, they lost to Michigan State, UNT, Illinois, and Miami of Ohio. So that's crazy. That can't be right. Miami. Oh, right. Okay. Anyway, line right now is Western Michigan -2.5. Game is Saturday at noon on ESPN. Should be an interesting game. Give me Western Michigan. Every time I've seen them play, they've been running people over.
Yeah. They have been pretty solid. Joe, how about you?
Western,
you're a Michigander.
Michigan's going to win this game, and I actually should have this as one of my picks. The reason why is Miami of Ohio's quarterback just left the program. Oof. He just walked away from the program like a week ago.
What?
Like last week, they started a true freshman at quarterback. They won, but that's who's going to be playing against Western Michigan. So man, I got nuts. Western Michigan winning this game all day. Daquay Finn, he's actually came from Toledo, was a really good quarterback with them, transferred to Miami, and no longer with the program.
Now on his way to LSU.
Leading passer all season long.
Yeah, I watched that video about that kid, man. He started off with a lot of promises. Promise ended up, like, he's on his – probably on his sixth year, and he, like, opted out to transfer. Again, this is a transfer portal. I still think Western Michigan better offense, much better defense. I think they'll pull it out. Moving to the Mountain West. So you got Boise State at 8-4, trying to get back into the playoff. I don't know if they can, versus UNLV, who's 10-2. Both teams are 6-2 in the conference. Boise's key wins: UNLV, New Mexico, App State, and San Diego State. And UNLV's key wins: UCLA before they got hot, and Miami of Ohio. Key losses for Boise is Notre Dame, but Fresno State kind of puts a stick in their eye. And then for UNLV, it's Boise State and New Mexico. So both of these teams are probably on par with their losses. You know, so they have a loss to a team that they should have lost to, and then a team that is not so great. The line right now is Boise at -3, which is interesting. But the game will kick off Friday night at 8 p.m. on Fox. What are you thinking, gents?
Probably should take Boise, considering that I saw UNLV damn near go to overtime against a lousy Air Force team before they turned things around. But I'm still going to take UNLV just based solely on the offense. I think that offense is incredible, and I think Boise State is still kind of living off their reputation, albeit obviously they've had a decent year, but they're, you know, that reputation is doing a lot for them, I think.
Yeah, certainly no Ashton Jente in the back of this season. Yeah. Joe, how about you?
You know, I agree with Dano here. I think that UNLV has a score to settle. The line here is probably indicative of the fact that they lost by 25 to Boise. UNLV lost by 25 to Boise at home on the 18th of October. So a while ago, Boise's racked up a couple of losses since then. UNLV, on the other hand, has finished out strong. I think they've got an axe to grind with Boise, and I'll take them if you're giving me points.
Yeah, for sure. I think UNLV certainly will cover, if not win outright, and I'm sure they will, because their offense has, you know, shown up a lot more often than Boise State's has, and I think that Boise State game was a fluke, honestly.
Cole Andrea, the quarterback for UNLV, is tough. He's a tough runner, too. He reminds me a lot of Haynes King.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so moving on to the SEC. Joe, what you got?
All right. We got Bama at 10-2, 7-1 in conference against Georgia, 10-2, 7-1 in conference. Bama's key wins are against Georgia, Vandy, and Missouri. UGA's key wins are against Tennessee, Texas, and Ole Miss. Key losses for Bama are FSU, which I know they want that one back, in Oklahoma, and then UGA's only loss or key loss was to Bama. The line right now is Georgia -1.5. Game time is Saturday on the 6th of December at 4 p.m. on ABC. Who you got?
For me, Georgia playing in Atlanta, that's a home game. So, you know, I would never take a home dog at 1.5. ever, and I probably won't today. I'll say Uga gets the win. You know, if I'm putting my ESPN hat on, I'm saying it's Bama by 100. But the reality of it is that's why we got to play the games. Nano, what you got?
Dude, Georgia's going to roll these guys. These teams have been headed in different directions since they played. You know, Bama sold out their season and beat Georgia. Okay, that's great, but they did not look good at all in that Oklahoma game. It was not the only time that they have looked anything less than par. I mean, yeah, no. Yeah. Georgia has figured out their running game. If they can do anything besides run the football and play defense, they should win. And I don't think Bama has anything other than that passing attack. So we'll see.
I agree. Yeah. I think Georgia wins and covers.
All right, Dano, chaos scenario number two for the college football playoff.
You have Troy at 8-4, 6-2 in the conference versus James Madison University at 11-1, 8-0 in the conference in the Sun Belt Championship. That one kicks Friday at 7 p.m. on ESPN. The key wins by JMU are against key wins by Troy are against Southern Miss, Buffalo, Louisiana, and Texas State. JMU has beaten Liberty, Texas State, App State, Louisiana, Washington State, and Georgia Southern. All of that would probably mean a lot more if Liberty hadn't fallen off a cliff this year. Key losses for Georgia include Arkansas State, Old Dominion, and Memphis. JMU lost to Louisville. None of that really tells me anything. I mean, everybody's talking James Madison, and suddenly I see them ranked above both American teams in the AP poll. Listen, they probably will win. I understand that that's a good team. I'm really not arguing that they aren't. But, dude, they're not better than any either of the American Conference teams. I'm sorry, I just don't believe that. So give me JMU, I guess, but it would be cool if Troy won.
Yeah. Joe, how about you?
I got JMU. Yeah, I think they've clearly been the front runner and best team in the conference, and I think they roll here.
Yeah, for sure. Again, my vote is for chaos. I think Troy will cover, but I want Troy to win just because we need JMU out of the way to have an American representative in the 12-team playoff. And so,
come on, that's an absurdity. Yeah, that is an absurdity. Who did they beat?
You know what? I'm saying it for the sheer fact of the matter is we need Duke to win and Troy to win to make sure that somebody from the American makes it into the 12-team playoff. Because if those teams don't, you understand
if that happens. Sports, Americans putting two teams into the playoff,
which would be great, right? But I think that would be the ideal scenario. But I don't think that's going to happen. But we need one of those teams to win, either Troy or Duke. Going to the Southwestern Athletic Conference. And the only reason why I put this on here is because the SWAC, right? For one reason, well, two reasons. One, you got Jackson State has continued to trend upward even after Coach Prime left. So they're 3 years removed, but obviously the facilities and the imprint that they've put on that program has continued to go. They're 9-2, 7-1 in the conference. They're playing Prairie View A&M. Believe it or not, that is my dad's alma mater.
Yeah.
So that's part of the reason why I put it on there is because my old band played there. I think so. And my old man played with somebody that you may know. He also played B.A. Baracus, Mr. Lawrence Tiro, Mr. T, played football with my dad in college at Prairie View. So that's a little bit of interesting trivia for you. Key wins for Prairie View, Texas Southern, Grambling, and Mississippi Valley State. JSU would be Alabama State, Florida A&M, and Bethune-Cookman. Key losses, University of Texas at Rio Grande, Rice, and Alabama State. Georgia Southern lost, or Jackson State lost to Southern Miss and Grambling. That game kicks at 2 p.m. on ESPN2. Shot in the dark, guys. Who are you picking?
Yeah, I'm not going to pretend I've watched either of these. I'll take Jackson State based solely on the overall record.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm going to take Jackson State because anybody that's lost to the University of Texas Rio Grande Valley isn't going to be my pick. And I'm sorry, but Prairie View A&M has lost to them this year.
Yeah, that's fair. And I think the other part of it is like I'd have to go back this weekend, do some quick research, see how they played against Grambling since they both played them and see how they performed. But all that being said, it is now time to, you know what? We're going to do something else because we kind of blew past it in the outline. So we're going to pass it over to Joe and we're going to hold our beer and then make some picks.
I drank the beer.
Yeah, I could not I could not let this go without giving this guy his flowers. He's been doing it all season, but not only did Malachi Toney break the freshman single season receiving record, yards record at the University of Miami, he had most amazing one-handed catches where he was completely parallel to the ground and probably 4 feet off of it, reeling it in for his first touchdown. His second touchdown, he decided to throw for it. He also had added 30 yards rushing on five attempts, averaging six per, but had 13 catches for 126 yards on that touchdown, breaking the freshman single-season record at a pretty big school. So I think Malachi Toney deserves his hold my beer moment because that guy's been doing it all year.
Yeah, for sure. I think he's going to continue to trend upward. Here's the real question. Does Avery Johnson from K-State end up at Miami next year?
That's
to ponder. Because I think he's certainly going to leave K-State, though.
Yeah, for sure. He's halfway out the door already.
Yeah. All right, gentlemen. Now it's time for the last one of the season.
Weekly Locks.
We'll go Dano first, and then me and Joe. And there's a side note. Joe and I are like neck and neck for the strap this year. And wow. Omar is – if Omar does a clean slate and gets all three, then we may actually have a tie. But right now I'm in number one spot. I'm a point ahead of Joe. I got 5 points. Joe has 4 points, and Omar has 1 point. So if things go well for Omar and bad for Joe, we may have a tie. And myself.
Considering that you started like negative five, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I dug myself out of a pretty big hole.
Are you in the top spot right now?
Yes.
Wow.
So this week is for all the marbles. It's championship weekend. Championship weekend. Couldn't have written it any better. Dano.
How is it official once it leaves my – once I say it, can I change a pick right now?
Whatever you write in this outline is what's going to go onto the score sheet. So
fine, I'm rolling with it.
All right, so I went 2-1 this week for a wonder. I am still, probably 8 games under 500, but what can you do? Still, you know, Navy won outright at Memphis, obviously, by 2 touchdowns, exactly like I said they would. Hate those guys. Air Force took Colorado State to the woodshed. They do that seemingly every year. And finally, Texas A&M surprised me by getting smoked at Texas and thereby talking their way out of the SEC championship. Oops.
I didn't see that one coming either.
I was very surprised. Very surprised. So anyway, we talked about this, but give me North Texas -2.5 against Tulane. Not going to rehash that one. I just think they have the best team in the American. Georgia -3 at Alabama. These were, as of when I made these picks, they were a little different up a little earlier. And finally, Virginia -3.5 against Duke. I feel really good about all of those, which means that none of them are going to come true.
Joe, how about you?
I went 2-1 last week, thanks to BYU winning by 20 after a late field goal and Oregon handling business. However, it was not a very pleasant game to watch. Michigan's offense could not answer. I won't recognize the Jeremiah Smith touchdown because it wasn't a touchdown in any other game but that Michigan game. So Michigan was actually pretty close to that 10.5. I did find three I like this week, however. Texas Tech -12.5 versus BYU. I know that they say it's hard to beat a team twice, but not when there's a talent gap. And I believe Texas Tech's defense is going to be a real problem for BYU after watching the Cougar defense struggle against UCF on Saturday. I feel like their offense is also going to be a bit of an issue. And I don't believe that this game is close. Give me Texas Tech 34-10. And then OSU and Indiana to go over 48.5. This call was an obvious one, as I don't usually mess around with overs. I do believe that both offenses are too good to be held under 24 points by anyone. I think the final point total is in the high 50s here by the end. And then Dano and I are usually pretty good on these when we go on the same wavelength. So I got Virginia -3.5 versus Duke. Look, it's another game where we've all already seen the matchup, and this one was only a few weeks ago, but Virginia went into Duke's backyard and punked them by 17 points. Now they have a chance to make the playoffs and a statement as a two-loss conference champion. I don't think the Cavaliers come out flat. I've got Virginia 31-21 in that game.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so I think it's going to come down to all the marbles. Is going to be the BYU and the Texas Tech game is going to be the difference in picks, because I am on the opposite side of that. But I was 2-1 this past week, trying to finish strong because I'm at the top. Hit with NIU to cover against Kent State. That was kind of easy money. Bowling Green covered 11.5 against UMass. That was ridiculous. And then, you know, UGA's offense did not produce what I needed them to produce to get the win against Georgia Tech. So they won outright, but they didn't cover the spread. This week, it's hard to beat a team twice. So I'm going to take Western Michigan to cover -2.5 at Miami and Ohio. I think they're the better team. I think they're going to win by at least a touchdown, maybe more. Take the over of 58.5 between Kennesaw State and Jackson State. They scored 61 in the first meeting. I think they will again. Kennesaw State probably has an edge in this one, but we'll see what happens. And then, of course, I picked this line really early, so I had BYU to cover 13.5 against Texas Tech. I think Tech will still win, but I think BYU will make some defensive improvements because, again, like, you can change your personnel matchups after you've played a team once. So I'm hoping that the coaching staff will do that, and we'll see. We'll settle it up. We'll see who gets the
28. Come on.
But anything can happen. But hey, so far, so good. Great season this year. We appreciate everybody coming to check us out here at the Ask for Football College Football Roundtable. Anyone got a favorite thing?
Just that we finally got our travel straightened out with the folks from USAA to get to the game in next week. Rob and I are going down Thursday, as it happens, so we can be there for breakfast on Friday, and just all the stuff is going to be crazy. And it's honestly, it's like surreal. So that's wild. And I see you have a programming note that we're going to do a combined Army football show, college football roundtable next week for the Army Navy game. That is a great idea. So especially cause we're gonna have cons on that show. That thing's going to go at 7:30 PM on Monday next week. So looking forward to doing that.
Yeah. So we'll do that. And then again, we're going to do as much as we can as far as capturing the fan experience with everybody there, just to see everything. And the only thing that we can't really show too much about is the Army Navy game. If you read the fine print of the USAA contract, like, that window is blocked. So we can't show things.
You can't show video. You can take as many pictures as you want.
Yeah. So we'll have no live videos, but we'll have as many photos as we can drop on the socials during the Army Navy game. But for the crew here at the S for Football College Football Roundtable, I'm your host, Rob, the Angry Colonel, calling to you out of Fayetteville, North Carolina. We've got Tano Ikebasa calling to you out of Coastal Connecticut, and Triggered Joe from the home of the Big House. It's been a great season. We're going to knock out the combined show next week, and then we'll probably take a week off to catch our breath after the Army-Navy game, and then we will do a semifinal preview and probably a championship preview. So there's going to be a delay probably between 1 to 2 weeks after the Army-Navy game, but we're still here for you to close out the rest of the season. And we thank you guys for checking us out. And as always, beat Navy.
Beat them.
Thanks for joining us on the Ask for Football College Football Roundtable. Special thanks to our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate. If you're buying or selling, reach out to Jocelyn for expert service. If you enjoy the show, please consider supporting us on Patreon at patreon.com/askforfootball. Your support will help keep the lights on and bring in more great content. Plus, you'll get access to exclusive perks and behind-the-scenes extras. Thanks for being a part of the Ask for Football community. Go Army, beat Navy, and we'll catch you guys next week.